And this morning, the topic is fasting 2.0. Trust me, I really didn't think I'll start my preaching stint in 2019 with a topic like fasting. I mean, usually it's something more energetic, like the new you, something more exciting, something more hope-filled. But then again, I was reminded of all the food that I and probably even you have gleefully and guiltlessly consume this holiday season. And I believe this topic isn't that irrelevant after all. Jokes apart, researching on this topic, I came to know that this is not really a very outdated concept. A lot of people today do fast for health purposes. A lot of celebrities worldwide, who swear by intermittent fasting. They swear by intermittent fasting for great health benefits. Here are a few of them. I'm pretty sure you recognize them. That's Hugh Jackman, Queen Bee, Beyonce, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, your favorite Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. In our very own Indian industry, Arman Nagpal swears by intermittent fasting for health benefits. And today we do fast from all kinds of things, right? It's not just food. I've heard people fasting from their phones. How many of us have done that? I've done that and it was really, really peaceful, trust me. And something which is more relevant this morning is probably fasting from social media. Have you done that? I need that a lot. Considering just coming back from a brilliant camping trip, I've been all over social media the last 2 weeks. Sorry for all that, right? You won't believe this. Some people actually fast from dating. They take a fast and say, I'm not going to date anyone in this chosen period, right? And I'm definitely not going to talk about health benefits of fasting or any of this in my talk this morning. At New City, all our talks, like I've told you before, are based on the life and the teachings of Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking from one such passage where Jesus talks about fasting. And trust me, spoken a couple of hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, this is very relevant to us, irrespective of whether we are followers of Jesus or not. Traditionally, fasting has always been associated with religion and spiritual beliefs. A lot of faiths around the world actually subscribe to fasting as a mandatory practice. And we're going to be seeing a bit of that in today's passage as well. Well, before we go into the passage, a little context. It is picked from the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew is this eyewitness to Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And there's nothing better than to read about Jesus from an eyewitness himself. And this happens during a time when Jesus is in full swing. He's walking around, going, healing people, doing miracles. He's bringing the dead to life, and all these amazing things are happening. And suddenly, this happens. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 9. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." Allow me to just pray before we step into the talk. Jesus, this morning, thank you for moving so personally to our hearts during the time of worship. And I believe even as you're speaking now, you're doing that. You know each of us, you know where our hearts are. You know where we need you the most. Would you come in powerfully and meet that need of our hearts this morning through the talk? In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Let's dive in. This is how the framework this morning is going to look. First, we're going to look at fasting 1.0. What is this fasting that these guys were talking about? Then we're going to see the change. And then we're going to be talking about fasting 2.0. Is that okay? Is that fine with us? Yes. All right. Fasting 1.0. This is what is happening. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" A little context. This John the Baptist was chosen to go and prepare the way so that Jesus could come and do all his work. So for 400 years, there was silence. God didn't speak to people. And suddenly, he chooses John the Baptist to say, "Hey, go and proclaim the coming of my son Jesus." And that's what John the Baptist does. And these are his disciples, are his followers. They've sat under his teaching. They probably were baptized by him. And these are his disciples. They're the first kind of, the second kind of people we see today. The first kind we see are Pharisees. Who are Pharisees? In the Bible days, these were religious leaders. Trust me, they hated Jesus. They really hated him, and they were stuck up in their old ways. They resisted any kind of change. How many of us don't like change? They believed that they got it all sorted. They didn't only resist change, they even resented change. Only their way is right. Everyone else can take the highway, right? They're the first kind of people, and the second is disciples of John the Baptist. And they have one question. Why aren't your disciples fasting? It was a practice for years together. People were fasting, and it was expected of Jesus' followers to do the same. Before we go there, let's see what kind of fasting were they talking about. Probably this is familiar to us. There are specific instances before Jesus in the Bible where people were recorded fasting. What were those instances? They fasted when in war or at the threat of it. Right? Israel fasted when at Bethel when they were at war with the Benjaminites. And also at Mizpah in the Philistine war when they were fighting this country called Philistines, right? And the second kind of fasting, they fasted when the loved ones were sick. David, probably one of the best singer-songwriter of the Bible, he wept and fasted when his son, the boy, was ill. They fasted also when their loved ones died. We see that David fasted, David and the people fasted for Saul and Jonathan when they died. They fasted when they sought God's forgiveness. Moses fasted for 40 days because of the sin of his people. Daniel fasted. We've been going through the series on Daniel. He fasted confessing the sins of his country, Israel. They fasted when faced with impending danger. We see that a lot when Nehemiah, he fasted when he heard the state of Jerusalem, his city. And we see fasting throughout the Bible. In short, everyone fasted. Fasting 1.0, or the old kind of fasting, was mostly done in desperate and hopeless situations in need of some kind of saving or some kind of savior. That is fasting 1.0 to us. And it was a very sad and sorrowful and mournful thing. Right? As followers of Jesus, we probably associate fasting to that. How can we establish this? Jesus in the passage said, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom?" Of course not. So Jesus is likening the fasting that these guys were doing with mourning. Now, here's the thing. When faced with situations like these, like we saw when situations are getting hard, when we're losing someone, take a busy and really taxing week at work. When faced with that situation, all of us also do fast. How do we do that? We fast off time with our family. We fast off our sleep. Sometimes it even involves us not even having our meals. When faced with these really, really trying times, all of us, irrespective of whether we're followers of Jesus or not, we all fast. If I can really admit this, being in pastoral work, in busy times in my life, the first thing I fast off is my time with Jesus. I recently got married, and in this entire season of prep towards the wedding and post that, the honeymoon and all this hangama, there were many days, lots of days, when I just gave up on my time with Jesus and communing with him. I am highly convicted of this. Much like these Pharisees and the followers of John the Baptist, we see that our fasting has become dependence on everything and anything apart from Jesus himself. Living in a city like Bombay, in the busyness of our lives, we are highly vulnerable to fast off Jesus and feast on our idols. This will leave us empty and purposeless. And at New City, we believe idol is not just a physical thing. Anything that grabs your affection a little more or a lot more than Jesus is an idol. Our work can be an idol. Our family can be an idol. And we are highly vulnerable to fast off Jesus and feast on our idols. That was the old kind of fasting. And this really troubled the disciples of John and the Pharisees that Jesus didn't, the disciples of Jesus didn't fast. So they come and Jesus explains to them the change. What is the change that Jesus is talking about? Jesus replies, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. What is the change? What changed? The change is the groom. God often related to his nation Israel as their husband. Even before Jesus came, Old Testament, the part of the Bible before Jesus, written thousands of years before Jesus, God often related to his people as a husband. Couple of instances. "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." In other instance, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God often related to his people as their husband. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is now saying, the groom is here. This God who has been relating to you as your husband is now here to live among you. Till now, they've been waiting for their groom who would be their savior. Now, Jesus is saying, I am your groom. I am your savior. I am your. In short, what Jesus is actually saying is the savior you've been longing for all these years, the answer to all your fasting is here. I am here. And the new way, the new covenant in Jesus, it institutes that it doesn't just amend the old way. It just doesn't fix the old way. It completely chucks that into the trash can, destroys it, and gives a new way. Jesus says this. How does he describe this change for us? Besides, who would patch old clothing with a new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins will burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is to be stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. The new kind of fasting that Jesus brings is pictured as this piece of new unshrunk cloth, as this new wine. And it demands that the old be dead. It demands that it be completely new. And Jesus himself demonstrated this for us. When he took the old, the mess, when he took all that is reeking of sin, all that is really stinking of our flaws upon himself, and died for us on the cross, thereby putting to death all the old. So Jesus, our Savior, also offered to be our sacrifice. Why is his sacrifice perfect? We see just before Jesus started off his work on earth, he was taken to this hillside to be tempted by the evil. And for this 40 days, Jesus didn't go there to fast. Jesus went there to be tempted by the devil. That's what the Bible says. But he chose to fast for 40 days. And by the end of the 40 days, Jesus came victorious. His entire life is spotless, flawless, and perfect. So in his death, we find life. And when Jesus died on that cross, each of our mess, each of our sin was on him. The old died with him. Here's the thing. The change that the groom bought, the fasting 2.0 that you're talking about, this is what Jesus says. Jesus never told them, hey, go away, they will never fast. Jesus said, a time is coming, but someday the groom will be taken away from them and they will fast. Now you must be wondering, if the answer to all their fasting is here, why is Jesus saying they will fast again? Jesus is talking about a time when the groom, that is himself, will be taken away. That is the time when, post his resurrection, he goes back to be with his Father. And this is the time when the disciples who witnessed to all that he did went and figured out, now Jesus is gone, what do we do? All the time after Jesus left, we find the disciples fasting throughout the Bible. In fact, the time for fasting 2.0 is now. We are living in that time. How does this fasting look now? You're saying the old is dead, everything is dead now. What is this new thing? We are not doing it from a place of waiting desperately and hopelessly for our Savior. We are not doing it from a place of having no clue about who our Savior is, like the people in the Old Testament did. We are not doing it from a place of impending doom. We are doing it from a place of extraordinary hope. How does this practically look like? It looks like this. After coming back from my 1 month break for the wedding, I was really struggling uh, to to hear God for this talk this morning. I was like, God, what is this that you want me to speak? And I just couldn't. I really struggled. I was like, I can't hear you. I don't know what you want me to speak. I'm clueless. Then it required me to do something. I was binge watching this first season of Suits. I know I'm a late comer to Suits on Amazon Prime. And that was taking a lot of my affection and time. And I said, hey, let me fast off this for a while and just give some time to listening to God. And trust me, it worked. How does fasting 2.0 look like? It looks like this. It means probably daily or weekly or monthly setting aside time and saying, hey, this thing is urgent. This thing demands my attention. This is something I really like. But hey, you know what? I'm going to pause on that for a while. I'm going to fast off that for a while. Because my mind needs to be really in love with Jesus. My heart longs for this. All of this is going to leave me empty. What is the step? What is a simple way to do fasting 2.0? It's just a real easy two-step process. First thing is remember the past. His death on the cross and his resurrection. Before, people used to fast to earn the love of God, earn his acceptance. Now we don't need to fast for that because in Jesus, we are already accepted. In Jesus, God is super pleased with us to the highest extent. So in remembering the past, we're also saying that I'm not doing this to please God. Because I'm pleased, God is pleased with me in Jesus. His life is the price that was paid. And you know what? When he came the first time, he paid the down payment. He paid the bride price and claimed us. The second step is long for the future. He's promised to come back. And this time, to crown us as his bride. He's promised that everything that we look around us, all these things that are really trying, that all these things that are really looking hopeless around us will be made new. There's this new and beautiful and perfect life that awaits us for all who believe in him. Longing for this future, remembering the past and longing for the future. Because of the cross, fasting changed from hopeless mourning to hopeful longing for our Savior to come and finish the work he started. If I have to draw an analogy, it's pretty much like this. It's that time between a prequel and a sequel. How many of us are waiting for the Marvel Endgame to happen? The final movie, right, that is going to bring. And we are waiting in this time when we've seen the first part, and now we're waiting for the second part. We are not clueless about it. We know what's going to happen. Our hearts are aching to know what's going to happen. Our hearts know that everything is going to be all right. And in this period, our hearts are aching and longing. Fasting 2.0. is that we witnessed the Savior. Now we are longing for him to come and finish his work. This is not a time for hopelessness. This is a time for hope-filled excitement. I've just come back from a gorgeous honeymoon in Sri Lanka. And I've tasted of it and I've experienced it. The clean blue waters, I know we don't get to see that much in Bombay. The lush green countryside, the delicious food, the king-sized prawns, the delicious types of, million types of fish, the dolphin and the whale watching, and all these awesome things are still fresh in my mind. Now imagine in the next 2 weeks, me and another guy who has completely no clue what Sri Lanka is. He has never been there. He's never been to a coastal city for that matter. If both of us have a trip waiting 2 years from now, who is going to be more excited? Who is going to be more hopeful? Who is going to long for it with expectation? Obviously me, right? Fasting 2.0 is that. Is about us taking time about from these things that are really taking our attention of Jesus, that are really dragging us down. In Bombay, it is needed. We work 12 or more long hour shifts. That's insane. We need this fasting 2.0 to fix our gaze on Jesus. You know what fasting 2.0 really does? It eats into our appetite for our idols and increases our appetite for Jesus. And trust me, there is fulfillment and peace in that. Those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning, I know each of us are convicted of that first kind of fasting. We fast off Jesus and feast on everything else. And this morning, grace, Jesus on the cross, dying for our sins, is alluring us back to fix our hearts back on Jesus. Fasting 2.0 calls for a remembrance of the price of the cross and the promise of the crown. Let me draw this deeper into our hearts. Why is Jesus actually using this analogy of unshrunk cloth and new wine in old wineskins? Why is Jesus using this for fasting? Because living in this gospel and grace paradigm, where we don't need to please God, where we don't need to earn His blessing, we are very much, very much vulnerable and likely to go back to that first kind of fasting, where we want to do things to earn things. We want to earn the favor of people. We want to earn the favor of God. And in doing so, we are left empty. We richly fast on our idols and feast on our idols and fast of Jesus. And this gospel paradigm demands that that be shattered and broken. The second reason why Jesus is saying this is simple. When we see the brokenness around us, when we see the mess around us, when we see the mess inside of us, there's this groaning in our hearts for this hope that Jesus promised us for. This hope that everything is going to be all right. We live in this crucial time when we know that our Savior has come, He's promised, and we know that things are going to be all right, but there's still, admit it, a lot of mess around us and inside of us. Fasting 2.0 is that groaning that we have in our hearts for that perfect world that Jesus has promised, that Jesus is coming back to take us all there. That everything, all the mess, is going to be fixed. There's going to be no poverty. There's going to be no sickness. There's not going to be any heartbreak. It's the groaning in our hearts. And friends who are not yet followers of Jesus, does this hope kind of seem really strange to you? I'm willing to bet that deep within our hearts, we all long for this kind of hope in our brokenness. When we are deeply shattered, we are looking for that one ray of hope that will bring us back. Each of us are made for longing for this hope. Jesus gives that hope to all of us who believe. You know what? Because we know this. We know this because He's already come. It's not an empty promise in the air. He's come. He's put His own life at stake. He said, I'm willing to die so that you be saved. When a man like that promises and actually comes back to life, be assured He's keeping His promise. even as we acknowledge the mess around us and inside of us, Jesus is coming. This hope is not a future reality, it's a present reality in our hearts, waiting to burst out and celebrate. Jesus offers this hope. And even as I come to my concluding point and I welcome the band upon stage, fasting 2.0 produces a beautiful fruit. Whenever the early church fasted, it directly or indirectly connected with the extension of Jesus' kingdom. The spread of this good news that you no longer need to earn the love of God. Jesus, in Jesus, God is super pleased, is fully pleased, and God's love is fully yours in Jesus. Whenever these guys fasted, it resulted in the spread of this good news. When our minds are marinated with the price of the cross and the promise of the crown, each day, every week, we cannot help but talk about it. Just like I can't shut up talking about my trip to Sri Lanka. When our hearts and minds are marinated with this truth, the price of the cross and the promise of the crown, I can't shut up but talk about it. Evangelism is a natural fruit of fasting 2.0. Even as we look forward to Vision 2020, that's New City's vision is to see this 20 downtown full by 2020. People really feasting and enjoying of Jesus. And today I see a bit of that reality come true. Look around us. God is listening and answering our prayer. I believe even as we walk towards Vision 2020, each of us enjoying and feasting of Jesus through fasting 2.0 is gonna really drive this. It's gonna be the key to Vision 2020.